Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Made.
Good afternoon, my brother.
How you doing?
And how are you?
I'm very well, Pastor. How you doing?
The Lord is good.
We are
doing well under His grace.
Man. Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor. Now, we're going to be talking with you this week about the stewardship of talents and resources. Right up until Friday, we're going to be dissecting this topic, looking at different angles and really visiting some certain areas that we really want to delve into but deeply. So thank you so much for joining us. And if you are joining us, Pastor Made is joining us on the line, and we're going to be talking about that. And if you have a question or comment or contribution to this topic, please do send it to us on +27 73 470 3520. Now, the Lord has entrusted us with all that He has created, from being caretakers of the earth to helping His children in need, managing the resources, that is time, talent, and treasures. And that all of that He has actually given us. And when we arrive in heaven, the Lord will ask us what we've done with what He has given us. And how will you answer this question out there? So thank you so much, Pastor. Now, please unpack for us God's ownership and His responsibility in the biblical concept of stewardship.
Thank you very much. The Bible reveals God as the creator. And because He is the creator, everything belongs to Him. You have quite a number of Bible passages that alludes to that. For example, as you open the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1, the Bible introduces God as the creator God.
Yeah.
The first thing it mentions, God is the creator. He made everything to come into existence. And He did, when He arrived, when He came, there was nothing. That is verse 2 of Genesis 1, verse 2. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Therefore, He created everything. You can read Psalm 24, verse 1 to 2. Even the psalmist says, the world, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, it belongs to the Lord. And Apostle Paul gives a reason why it all belongs to the Lord. When you read Colossians chapter 16, verse 1, he says everything is created by Him, things that are visible and things that are invisible, they are created by Him. Then he goes further, the tail end of verse 16, I like that part very much, where it says He created all of these things by Himself. And He created all of these things for Himself. Therefore, all of the things that are around us, the created things, they are created by God, and they are created for God. The Bible is explicitly clear on that point. As a result, the Bible portrays or sees God as the owner of everything.
Yeah.
Maybe one would ask a question. Then, what is our role in the whole thing? If God owns everything, even the car I'm driving, it belongs to the Lord. My bank account belongs to the Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean? It actually means one thing. I am a steward. I am a manager. The Lord has placed under my care that which belongs to Him. And my role is to manage God's property.
Yeah.
So God is the creator, and we are just managers. We are just stewards. We are just stewards. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. He says, every steward must be, it is expected of every steward to be faithful. As we manage God's property, it is expected of all of us to be faithful.
Yeah. Man, now, please help us understand the concept then of accountability and reward as well as it relates to stewardship.
Yes, because I've already mentioned that we are just stewards.
Mm.
We are managing that which belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And someone else is God in this case.
In this case. Mm.
It means at the end of the day, because we were busy managing God's property.
Mm.
At the end of the day, we must give an account. And Apostle Paul has put it explicitly clear that the Lord has already appointed a day that we will give an account.
Mm.
There are no questions about this one.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
I manage God's property, how I manage the things that are in close proximity to myself,
mm-hmm.
One day I will give an account in the manner I have managed God's property.
Yeah.
And there is a parable that explains this very well in the book of Matthew. When you read Matthew 25, you start reading from verse 14 and you go down. It gives you the parable of talents. Servants, the master is leaving and he leaves behind his servants. He gave each one talents. One was given five, another two, another one, and they had to use those talents. The talents did not belong to the servants.
Mm.
They belong to the master.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the parable goes on to tell us that the master came back and he held the servants accountable.
Mm.
They had to give an account about how they manage the talents. And the story tells us how they responded.
Yeah.
As a result, we see two types of stewards from that parable. You have the faithful stewards and you have the unfaithful stewards. Those who are not managing God's property very well, they are classified, according to the parable, as unfaithful stewards.
Mm.
But those who manage God's property very well, they are classified there as faithful stewards.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a reward. The faithful stewards are rewarded for their faithfulness.
Yes.
Because Jesus says, on that day, it will be said to those who are faithful, well done, you faithful servants. You were faithful in small things. Now come and inherit that which your Father, that is God, has placed for you.
Mm.
So there is a reward. Even the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12, he says, Jesus is coming, and when he comes with a reward. And that reward is for the faithful stewards. But unfortunately, for those who will be found not faithful, the reward is not so good.
Sadly.
The reward is not so good. I think the encouragement here is that let us be counted among the faithful ones.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Man, Pastor. Now, the purpose of the stewardship message, what is that purpose and what is to be gained? Of course, you've answered this one from being a steward. So the purpose of this message, really, at the center and at the purpose, what must then happen?
Yes, you know, to understand better the purpose of the stewardship message, I think one needs to understand the definition.
Mm.
Because the definition kind of give you the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The definition for biblical stewardship goes like this.
Yes.
Biblical stewardship is the lifestyle of one who accepts Christ's lordship.
Mm-hmm.
And walks in partnership with God,
mm-hmm.
acting as his agent in managing his affairs on earth.
Yeah.
That is the definition of biblical stewardship. And in this definition, you will notice that there are four keywords.
Mm-hmm.
That is the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Therefore, the stewardship is there to induce in us a unique lifestyle.
Right.
Number two, another key word in that definition, it's lordship.
Mm.
The purpose of stewardship is there to reconnect us with God. We acknowledge him as the Lord in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the third keyword in that definition is partnership. Therefore, the purpose of a stewardship message is to create a partnership between mankind and God.
Mm-hmm.
And we work as co-workers. We work as a team, moving forward. Then the last one is managing his affairs on earth. We be conscious of the fact that which is in close proximity to us does not belong to us. It's not ours, but it belongs to God. It belongs to God. Therefore, I am managing that which belongs to. I need to be very careful in how I use what I have, what I use, what is in my bank account, how I use what is in my crawl.
Mm.
So that is the purpose. If I would sum it up, stewardship message is there to make us better people.
Yeah, and through this message, and if we enact this message truly, we should become better people. Now, Mfundisi, how do our needs or the needs of our family fit into the concept of stewardship? Because remember, our families would have needs as well and our personal needs. How do those fit into this concept?
Stewardship encompasses every aspect of our lives.
Mm.
It encompasses our family life, even it touches how I conduct myself at a workplace, how I conduct myself and relate with the people I live with in my neighborhood. It encompasses everyone. It seeks to produce a better person. If I'm a father, it seeks to produce a better father from me. If I'm a husband, it seeks to produce a better husband from me. So it encompasses all aspects of our lives. It encompasses all aspects of our lives. Therefore, those needs, because stewardship encompasses all aspects of our lives, those needs are catered for. They are catered for. I would put it to you. Most of the people are suffering. Not everyone. Please mark my word.
Most people
are suffering because they have mismanaged what they have. They don't have a way or a better way of managing that which the Lord continually give them. As a result, they are suffering. Their needs are not met. Stewardship is there to make sure that I become a better person. As a result, I will be able to manage the resources in my proximity.
Yeah, man. Now, Pastor, I want to let you go. But before I do that, you know, when we talk about stewardship, when we talk about returning to God what belongs to Him, we talk about offerings, we talk about tithe and all sorts of other giving back to the Lord. There are those who believe that the stewardship teaching is actually a money-making scheme of the church. What would you say to that?
It's sad because you find such people. And yet, if you look at stewardship in a holistic manner, you'd realize that it is not the case. Stewardship is there to reconnect us with God, to strengthen our relationship with God. I always say this. In stewardship, we are preparing God's people for the kingdom. We are preparing them so that they are ready for the second coming of Christ. It is holistic. And I always say, when I go to these churches, I always say every Sabbath is a stewardship day.
Okay. All right.
There is no Sabbath which is not a stewardship day. Anything that reconnects, any message that seeks to reconnect a human being with the Creator, that is a stewardship message. It's only that sometimes we focus on the tithe and the money. The returning of the tithe, the giving of an offering, are just the fruits of the connection. If that connection is not there, there will be challenges with the returning of the tithe. There will be challenges and difficulties with the giving of the offering.
I see.
That is why the emphasis should be more on reconnecting God's people. When they are connected to their Creator, to their Savior, it will become an act of worship to return that tithe, an act of worship to give that offering.
Yes, Pastor.
It's not the tithe first. It's not the offering first. It's the connection first.
Powerful stuff. I must thank you so much for your time and coming through to the Adventist World Radio. We'll connect with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.